Turn, if you will, this morning as the children are going out to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Jesus has talked about, starting over in John chapter 4, 5, and 6. He's talking about things, and he comes to some hard sayings in John chapter 6. The religionists are listening to his words, and in verse 64 of chapter 6, I want to read this passage of scripture to you. There are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore I have said unto you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today that as we study your word, as we look through the scriptures here, Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts. And Lord, let us realize that we do not need to walk away. We do not need to quit. And Lord, many have. And Lord, we pray that you will bring us back, that you will give us revival in our hearts. And Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. This world is full of people who once started to walk with Christ, once had a great movement of Jesus Christ in their country, and yet now it seems that the fields are dying. The harvest, Jesus says, is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If you go over into Europe and England and places like that, you see great big churches, and every Sunday they're empty. Just a few people there that once they were teeming over with life, once the Holy Spirit was moving mightily through these places of worship and people were being saved by the hundreds and thousands. They were coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but now they're dwindled away. Right here in America, the same thing is happening every year. Churches are closing their doors. Once they were full of life. Once the people were coming and listening to the Word of God and obeying the Word of God and committing their lives to the Word of God. But now they're literally locked the doors on a lot of these places. No more is the gospel being preached. People that once were alive, Jesus says, have walked away. He was talking about his body and as a bread of life and is drinking the blood as life, and he was talking about the spiritual things. He says, unless these religionists didn't understand that, and they said in one passage of scripture right above this, he says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And they were literally thinking about, well, it's gruesome. He's talking about eating his body and the flesh and drinking of his blood. But Jesus was talking about, unless you come to me as the living bread and feed off of the bread of life. In other words, unless your life is consumed with me, in other words, you take me into your life and you give your life to me fully. Unless you drink the blood, unless you realize that I died upon the cross and you accept the blood of Jesus Christ into your life to cover your sins, you cannot be my disciples. Well, Jesus Christ, folks, let me tell you, he reminds us of a scripture And then he asks, will you also go away? And, you know, he's really saying, are you going to quit following me also? And I'm reminded of the scripture in John. John chapter 4, verse 35, he uses the beautiful analogy of the woman coming back from Samaria. She's been off telling about Jesus Christ and how he changed her life and things in her life. And he sees these people coming and he says, look, the fields are white and the harvest. He says, do you not say there's 4 months to harvest? It was December time and harvest was regular in April. And he says, you say there's 4 months until harvest, but I say right now the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And folks, let me tell you, I believe the harvest today in America is ready and the laborers are not ready. She said the first responders. I think we are the first responders, folks, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, growing up in East Texas, we used to have tomato fields, we had cotton fields down there, corn fields, and everything. Now it's all on trees. But as I grew up, the crops were ready. You knew what it was, the importance of gathering the crops while they were ready. If you don't gather the corn in, it dries up. If you don't gather the beans in, they dry up. If you don't gather at the right time, the tomatoes, they rot on the vines. Folks, there's a time for harvest. And Jesus says the harvest of souls is right now. We've got to gather in the harvest before they rot on the vines. And the churches must get to work. For people all around are dying and going to a devil's hell because we're sitting back on Sunday morning and listening to messages and not going out into the fields and reaping the harvest. You see, you know what it is to put hay out in the field and cut it. And it rains coming. If you don't gather it at the right time, then it gets moldy and the cows won't eat it. Man, I tell you what, there's a time for the harvest. And we say, oh, we got plenty of time. But Jesus says, today, the harvest of lost souls, it's time. You see, I say the harvest is ready. And listen, we need to be about the Father's business. You know, Christ could return at just any moment. You know what? After he returns, it's too late. It's too late. Opportunities for people to be saved will be over with. We don't have time to sit around and lollygag around. We need to be about the Father's business. We wonder, well, who's going to be president or who's going to do this and who's going to, where our country's going. Our country's going further and further away from Christ. It's predicted in the Bible. All you have to do is read your Bible. And you know, unless we as a church stand up for Jesus Christ and turn this nation around, then we're going down a slippery slope. And he says in Matthew 25, 13, watch therefore. You neither know the day nor do you know the hour that the Son of Man cometh. And let me tell you, death comes to all men. And death seals the destiny of every man. Luke 12, 16, 24 says, a certain rich man says, Lord, I will go and tear down my barns. I will build bigger places. I will do this. And Jesus said, thou fool. You see, tonight your soul will be required of me. Then whose will all of this be? Folks, we wonder so much who's going to do this and who's going to do that. And the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. Today, if we hear the voice of God, let us not harden our hearts against it, but come to him and receive him as our Lord and Savior while we still have time. If you're not saved here this morning, let me tell you something. Now is the time to do that. If the Holy Spirit talks to your heart and speaks to your heart and says, listen, you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're lost. Today is that time. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have this evening. We think we will. We think we know what we're going to do. I think I know what I'm going to do this next week. But let me tell you something. God may have different plans for my life. He may call me home this evening. Praise God, I am ready. When he calls, I'm ready. So there is a time when the harvest is ready. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to be winning souls. The harvest is ready. It's no time to walk away. Let me tell you something else. There's a war to fight. In 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, it says, Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. Let me tell you, it's no time to walk away from the church when there's a battle to be fought. I don't know about you, but we are in a battle. We're in a battle against Satan. We're in a battle against all the demons of hell. And good soldiers don't sit on the sideline. Good soldiers get into the battle. I picture the church today as the Israelites. They're sitting watching old Goliath make fun of them. And they're sitting silently by. They're being taunted by Goliath and the Philistines. And God's church is sitting on the sidelines and says, well, we don't have no strength. They can whip us. But Jesus Christ says, no, we're in a battle. Get on the battleground. Get on, wage war against Satan. Listen, as an individual, we cannot allow ourselves to be entangled, I talked about that last week, with the things of the world. You see, the world wants to get us all tripped up. The world wants us to wait for the right timing. It is time. Let me tell you, we're not called to a life of ease, friends. We're not called to a life of comfort. We're called to do battle. He says, I want you to be a good soldier, Timothy. We are to stand firm in the Word of God. And then Paul goes on in Ephesians and says this, put on the whole armor of God. Now, I don't know about you, but most Christians today don't have on the whole armor of God. They stand as weak people, and Satan can just whip them any old way they want to. Every single day, we must dress ourselves in the full armor of God. And we are to stand firm, it says, and serve God in that armor. The battle is going on. Our war is not with the drugs of the world. We're always going to have the drugs of the world. We're always going to have crime rate in our world. We're always going to fight sexual battles against the sexual people out in the world that's wanting to make our world all just one. But the battle is against the Satan himself and the powers of darkness, the Bible says. And if we're going to win as a church, we've got to get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem is the devil himself. He's waging war against God. And 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Now, the one weapon that we use very little today, and we ought to put it on first, is prayer. Now, we always talk about, well, I'll pray for you. That's the least I can do. I hear that over and over. Now, it might sound good, but it's really bad saying. Prayer is the best thing that we have. Prayer is the most important thing as a Christian we can do. For the Bible says with prayer, we can unlock the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and we can bind things on earth and loose things in heaven. Oh, listen, folks, prayer is important in our life, and we lose the battle with Satan because we're not even starting praying in our life. This church ought to be on the knees praying every single day. Lord, bless us. Keep us in the battle here in Gun Barrel. Keep us on the alert. Bless whatever. Send revival in our life, in our midst. Pray for the lost. Pray for our missionary. Pray that we'll use the right weapons that we need. The Word of God. We ought to take it up and read it on a daily basis. Dedicate ourselves to prayer. Dedicate ourselves to the reading of the Bible. And commit ourselves to the battle. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. The harvest is dying in the field while the laborers are sitting in the sideline. Man, I tell you what, we need to realize there is a battle in America today for the souls of men. Our children, they're wanting to steal Christ away from our country, that one day all of these churches and all that you see that Christ has built are just empty buildings. They're empty buildings where the Holy Spirit no longer resides. The doors have been closed, and a few faithful members come in. Listen, folks, our society has pushed God completely out. There's a war to be going on. There's a harvest to be reaped. And Jesus says, there's no time to quit. You say there's 4 months, but I say today is the harvest ready. And you can't quit because the harvest is ready and the battle rages. There's also a message to deliver. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Folks, that's pretty strong words, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've got a story to tell. I asked God this week and last week, I said, Lord, as I go my way this week, would you let me realize or let me see a person that you want me to share the story of Jesus with, that you want me to share the gospel with, that you want me to speak to? And you know what? Just about every single day, God has put somebody in my way, in my path, that I might tell them about Jesus. And let me tell you something. The moment he puts them in my path, a light comes on. This is the one. I don't have to wonder, is this the one? No. God says, okay, this is the one. Tim, you preached Wednesday night, a week ago, I believe it was, about the Brookshire boys going out, the girls taking out your groceries. Well, you know what? I thought about that. I don't even know where Tim is today. He's there. Oh, are you? He's preaching on Wednesday night, doing a great job. This is the last Wednesday night, and then we're starting the book to the Judges. Brother Perry's going to be preaching. So you come. Wednesday night is important. We had a great crowd Wednesday night. Listen, he talked about they're a captive audience. They are, brother. I didn't think about that, but I've always taken my groceries out. I said, you know, I can take my own groceries. I'm a big old fella. I can push them out to the car and load them in. This little boy was standing at the end of the line there, and he said, sir, would you like to take your groceries? I only had a couple of bags. I said, sure. You're in for a treat. You don't know who I am, do you? We ain't got out the door good. He said, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? I said, it is with Jesus Christ. Every day is a beautiful day, young man. Let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ? Boy, the conversation stopped. I mean, the beautiful day doesn't turn to a cloudy one. And it was just like, he says, sir, I don't go to church. I didn't ask you where you went to church. I said, do you know Jesus Christ? Boy, I tell you what. We talked about him. Got the groceries in the car, and I let him loose. But you know what? I told him where I was. I always tell people, I go to First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City. If they ever get a pastor over there, they'll grow to out of this world. I said, you ought to come and see. It's a marvelous thing on Sunday morning. Don't speak something negative. Speak something enjoyable, lively. Invite them to come. And I hope he comes one day. He lives there behind Brookshire's. Next time I go and find out exactly where he lives. Next day I was walking somewhere. I can't even think about who it was now, but there's this man. He came along my way. And it was like God says, tell him about Jesus. Man, I did. I told him about Jesus. He didn't go to church either. Isn't it amazing how many people don't go to church and don't know Jesus? They just don't know. And I thought about this passage of Scripture. Man, the fields are white of the harvest. The trouble is the laborers are few. Are we keeping silent? You know, I believe there's plenty of people out there to witness about Christ. We just keep silent. And we've got a story to tell, a message to tell. You know, the gospel reveals several things. One, the power of God, it says, unto salvation. Paul said in Revelation, Romans, both start with R, Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He said, I'm not ashamed to tell the story about Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed? You know, I found myself sometimes thinking, well, I don't know if I ought to share with them or not. And then I'm thinking, man, that's not what God has called you to do. You ought not be timid about this. Just tell them the good news about the gospel. You know, it reveals the power of God. It also reveals the righteousness of God. Jesus says it is written how we should live in the Word of God. People always want to know, preacher, how should we do this? How should we do that? It's written in the Word of God. The Word of God reveals the righteousness of God, how we should live. I don't have to wonder if homosexuality is wrong. It tells it in the Word of God it's wrong. I don't have to reveal, or it don't have to reveal to me that drunkenness is wrong. It tells you in the Word of God that it's wrong. I don't have to know about stealing. It's wrong in the Word of God. I don't have to know about killing. It's wrong in the Word of God. I don't know about hating. It's wrong in the Word of God. Should I love my neighbor? Yes, you should. Man, the Bible tells us those things. We don't have to wonder. There's not a person in this room that we ought to have odds against. We ought not love. We ought not be able to give our life for them, because that's what the Bible says. We are to love one another. I said this morning in Sunday school class, I don't have to love their sin, but let me tell you something. I love them. Amen? I love that homosexual person because God gave his life for them just like he did me. I don't have to agree with the sin, but I love the person. You understand what I say? I love the person that God created. And he says, love them. Don't love the sin. Don't put up with it. I don't put up with it. But I'll tell you one thing. I love the person. I'll always love the person. I believe Christ died for every one of us. And let me tell you something. There's not a person in here God can't change. Amen. If he changed me, he can change anybody. And if he changed you, and I know you pretty good, he can change anybody. The trouble is, they've got an idea that we don't love them. We ought to love them and pray for them and pull down the strongholds of Satan. You see, the Bible says if we put on the whole armor of God, then we will be able to stand against that. Not only that, let me tell you something else. The Bible is the power of God unto salvation. It shows the righteousness of God, and it also tells us how we should stand up under sufferings in this life. People always say, well, if God loved me, I wouldn't be suffering like I am. Let me tell you something. The Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his son to the cross. He loves you just that much. And if suffering's coming a part of our life, we ought to say, God, what am I to learn from this suffering? That I might be made whole. That I might be made complete. That I might learn how to live a life. Let me tell you something. All of his disciples suffered greatly at the hands of persecutors because they loved the Lord. Why shouldn't we be any different? No. And not only that, the Bible tells us how we should be able to face death. We ought not be scared of death. Death to the Christian, I said, is eternal life. After death comes, hey, brother, we got it made then. We're going to be in heaven worshiping God. The Bible says there's no more sickness there. There's no more pain there. I'll get into that in a minute. But it also reveals that the love of God in the Bible, for God so loved the world, that's a story in itself to tell. If you do not witness to anybody else, but just share, you know what? God loves you. He so loves you that he gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you. God so loved the world. That is the gospel. Some people say it's the gospel in a nutshell. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yet while we are sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the price for us. Folks, I can't quit. I've got a story to tell. I can't quit. The harvest is plentiful out there. I can't quit because we've got a battle raging in our lives. And also it reveals the wrath of God. Some people say, well, if God's a God of love, why does he make people suffer? Well, let me tell you something. Sin. Let's put it right to the root ground of it. Sin is why people suffer. We chose to sin. The Bible says we're going to pay a price. The wages of sin is death. Whoever is not found, the Bible says, in the Lamb's Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. Oh, let me tell you something. God did not want you to go to hell. He wants you to be saved. He's given you opportunity to come to him this morning. He said, whosoever should call upon my name shall be saved. All we have to do is realize that we're sinners and we need a Savior. Yes, the wrath of God is a place called hell. He's going to send everyone that doesn't love him there. But I believe with all my heart he gives everybody an opportunity, whether it's through the nature or whether it's through someone preaching a sermon. Whoever calls, it reveals the salvation of God. He shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever calls, whoever says, God, I realize I'm a sinner. God, I want you to come into my life. That's as simple as it gets, folks. I never will forget the day I was saved. I realized that I was lost, and I realized I was sitting there in that church pew lost, and I realized as that preacher was speaking that the wrath of God was upon my life. If I died, I would spend eternity lost. But I realized also that all I had to do is come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I realize I'm lost. I want you to pay the price for me. I know you did on the cross. And I claimed the blood of Jesus Christ in my life. By faith, I stepped out and came. The reason I came down, I wanted everybody in that church to know that I wanted to give my life to Jesus Christ. You say, why do you have to step out and come down the aisle? If you're ashamed to profess him before men, he cannot profess you for the Father. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Christ. I want everybody to know that he came into my life. Folks, we just can't quit the Christian life. We can't let the devil win the war. We've got to realize there's a harvest to be gathered and there's a battle going on. And we must tell the story, the message of Jesus Christ. Not only that, there is a race to run. I preached on this last week in Hebrews 12:1. There's a race to run. Wherefore, since there's a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside those things that so easily entrap us or ensnare us. Oh, let me tell you something. If there's something in your life that's causing you to be entangled in this world, get rid of it. Christian, if you're saved and there's something in your life that's stopping you from enjoying the joy of your Christian life, get rid of it. All you have to do is say, Lord, I realize. I confess it. And the Bible says he will forgive you. Oh, there's nothing more that I want to see a church that's alive. There's nothing more than I want to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, the Christian life is a race. All our lives we will be running. All our lives we are to be salt, the Bible says over in the Bible. You're to be salt. You're to be light. Don't hide your light. Don't hide it. Don't lose your flavor, you see. Let your light shine that others might see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father in heaven. I think of old Jeremiah. If you go over and read the book of Jeremiah, several times it looks like he's ready to quit. Boy, he's down in the mouth. He's lonely. He's discouraged. He's afraid. He's hated. He's hated. I think that we all get those points at some time in our life. And we say, Lord, there's nobody. We're like old Elijah. There's nobody left. I'm trying to do this myself. And he says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I've got thousands of people that are ready to stand firm. Oh, when we think of Jesus, when I think of Calvary, when I think that he didn't quit on me, when he knelt there in the Garden of Eden and praying, Father, if there's some way that this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, your will be done. He didn't walk away. That old song says he could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't really need those angels. He could have done it himself, but no, he chose to suffer. He chose to lay down his life. Those old Romans didn't take his life. He said, I give it to you that you might have eternal life. Nobody takes my life from me. I give it to you. Folks, he didn't walk away. He suffered boldly upon that cross. No one ever suffered quite like Jesus. I think of that old hymn, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith to him to dwell. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. Oh, listen, when I think of that song, all the way to Calvary, my Jesus went for me. If I would have been the only one on earth, he would have died for me. When I think of hell, and I think of the ones that are going there, I think of that rich man that is in hell, and he lifts up his eyes, and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. And he said, Lord, if you could send just a drip of water to cool my torment. God said, it's fixed. There's a great gulf between me and you. No man can escape hell once he's there. Nobody really wants to go there if they understand that it's forever. It's forever. You're not dead there. You are alive there. Your memory is alive there. You're in constant torment there. Nobody would really want to go to a place called hell. And when I think of heaven, when I think of heaven and the mansion that God has prepared for me there, when I think of the loved ones that have gone on to be with there, when I think of the reunion that's going to be there, when I think about our Jesus that died is there, and he shall be my God, and I shall be with him, and I'll serve him for all eternity. How long is eternity? Our minds can't comprehend it. But I know one thing, I can't quit. I can't quit. When I think of heaven, I think of all his people. And you know what? We can't walk away. He says, will you also walk away? There's a harvest to be gathered. There's a war to fight. There's a message to be delivered. And there is a race to run. Don't quit. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're on that road to destruction, the Bible says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. But narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. You have the opportunity. You're at that gate this morning. The gate to eternal life is right step out by faith and come, saying, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm calling upon the name of Jesus. You shall have eternal life. Why? Because Jesus says so. Nothing you do, nothing you have done, no religion, no Baptist, no Methodist, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have that this morning. All you have to do is come. If you say no, you are rejecting Christ. And that's the only thing that will send you to hell. Nothing that you've done can keep you from coming to Christ. He says, I love you. I died for you. But the choice you have to make, will you serve him and choose him, or will you serve Satan and choose him? No in between. Just black and white. Heaven or hell. In Christ or out of Christ. If you're here this morning, you're already saved. Are you in the battle? Are you reaping the harvest? Let me tell you something. If not, get there. Get on the battle line. Because there's a race to run. Right now, I don't think we're running it very good. Respond to it. Do what Christ has told you to do. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that we come to the choice right now between heaven and hell. Lord, I pray that if we're here this morning, that we'll do nothing to stop somebody from coming. We'll pray and let your Holy Spirit do its work. Lord, may we come right now, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.